Good evening.
So do appreciate you being here tonight. It's a blessing to be with you and have the opportunity to look together into the Word of God again. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. That's where we would like to begin this evening. Several weeks ago, it was February 21st, to be precise, we started this study in the book of Proverbs, and I encourage you to, as many people try to do, read a chapter from Proverbs each day, the one corresponding to that date. The next day, I had a couple call me, and I was talking with them, and they were sharing a situation that they were facing and getting some input on that particular situation. And as we spoke and I made some comments, the wife said, "Well, you know, last night I was reading Proverbs 21, and she gave me the verse, which kind of stopped me in my tracks, and I thought, wow, that's great. That's what we want to do. We want to go into the Word of God and see Him speak to us for a specific need for wisdom. And this couple experienced that, and the Lord used that to help them make a decision, which was very encouraging to me. And I thank the Lord for that and encourage you to continue, whether you're in the book of Proverbs, whether you're in the proverb for that day, based on the date, or you're somewhere else in the Word of God, expect God to speak wisdom for you. And that's what we're looking for in the book of Proverbs, wisdom for life. Wisdom for life. And again, we're going to start here in chapter 1, and we'll read the first seven verses as we did last time, and we'll be focusing tonight on verse 7. But let's read these first seven verses together. Proverbs 1 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom for life. Last time, just to get us up to speed very quickly, we looked and considered the fact that the book of Proverbs is wisdom for everyone's life. And we find even here from these first seven verses, just a little illustration of just how relevant God's Word and the Proverbs in particular here are for everyone's life, whether a naive person, for the young person, for the wise person, for the individual who already is a person of understanding. We find that Solomon says by the Spirit of God that these Proverbs, these sayings, these wise instructions are relevant for everyone. They're wisdom for everyone's life. They're wisdom for your life and for my life. And then we saw that they're wisdom for everyday life. Practical insight for practical issues in life, like relationships, dealing with temptation, in the business environment, our verbal communication and how that impacts others both positively and negatively, morality, emotional well-being, family interaction, and so forth. Wisdom for everyday life, real life, your life. And then we begin on this thought where we are going to pick up tonight, that Proverbs is also wisdom for everywhere life. For everywhere life, no matter where you are, no matter where you are geographically, it doesn't matter if you're here in this room, if you live in the United States, if you live in the Middle East, if you live anywhere at any time in any culture, speaking any language, the wisdom of Proverbs is God's wisdom for you. wherever you are geographically, and also wherever you are spiritually. Wherever you are spiritually. Because wisdom and knowledge start, we find in verse 7, at the same place for everyone. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter if you're seeking wisdom at home or in the workplace or at play or in meetings of the local church or in other interactions or even when you're alone. It doesn't matter. It all starts at the same place. And whether you're a person of spiritual maturity or whether you're an immature babe in Christ or somewhere in between, it all starts at the same place according to verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It doesn't say it's the beginning of knowledge for those who were just getting started. It doesn't say it's the beginning of knowledge for those who were way on down the road. And when you get to a certain point, then this is where you start. No, it's the beginning of knowledge. And as we find in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, it is also the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom. It all begins at the same place, the fear of the Lord. In his commentary on this verse, Bruce Waltke writes, "What the alphabet is to reading, notes to music, and numerals to mathematics, the fear of the Lord is to attaining the revealed knowledge of this book." This is the foundation. You see, having a proper view of God, it's where it all begins when we're looking for wisdom. To know God and to know who God truly is and to see and relate with God as He truly is how we start out having a knowledge that truly impacts life for eternity. Can we get along without the fear of the Lord? Can we get along without the wisdom that comes from the book of Proverbs? Billions of people do it every day. They get along. Some of them doing quite well, thank you, materially speaking. They have great positions of power and prestige here in this culture and cultures around the world. And they never look at the book of Proverbs nor seek to apply any of these truths. They surely don't have the fear of the Lord and they don't care anything about God or a proper view of God. Many of them don't even believe that God exists. And they get along quite well in this life, but you see, God is looking, of course, at the big picture. Okay? He's looking at the eternal perspective. He's looking at not only our lives upon this earth, but beyond this earth. And as we thought about this morning a little bit, that judgment seat of Christ and standing before the Lord Jesus, those of us who know Him, of course, those of who do not know the Lord, they too will stand before Him, but they'll be standing at the great white throne judgment. They'll be banished to the lake of fire. They should have listened to the wisdom that God gave Solomon. They should have listened to the Word of God. But God is concerned not only about eternity. He is concerned about time. Because that's where our lives are lived out in such a way that He receives glory and honor based on the way that we live our lives. It does not in any way minimize or maximize His glory or His honor, but the reflection of that glory and that honor in this world is impacted by the way that we live. And you see, I need wisdom. I need wisdom for life. I need wisdom to live a life that honors God. A life that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. A life in which the Holy Spirit of God is able to live out the very character of the Lord Jesus in me. And for that, I must have the fear of the Lord. For that, I must have a right understanding of who God is and what God is like. You know, as we approach the book of Proverbs, we're reminded here at the very outset that it's good to have an ongoing examination in our own lives of our view of God. Because again, as we mentioned this morning, Those things which weigh us down as believers, as the Lord Jesus said there in Luke 21. Those things that weigh us down come on gradually. And the impact of the world and the flesh and the devil on our perception of God is very unnoticed at times. And that's the intention, again, as we said this morning, not to preach this morning's message again, but those snares are purposefully there unnoticed, and they're there that we will not think them to be a danger at all. But they are. And the world is seeking to shape our view of who God is. We see that in another light, just a human example, as we look at the presidential hopefuls in the different parties and we listen to them talk about one another. And what are they trying to do to us? They're trying to shape our view of that particular person. They want us to look at that person the way they look at that person. And what will benefit them if we look at that candidate in the light in which they portray him or her, that is to their advantage. And so they are seeking to shape our viewpoints of their opponents. Sometimes what they're presenting is accurate. Sometimes it may be a little twisted for their benefit. It's important that we know as best we can the true character and stand of those who are running for office, but how much more important is it that we have a right understanding, a right view of God, the Creator, the one who made us. The world, our culture, is increasingly, it seems, trying to shape, misshape our understanding of God and to twist that as best it can. Our own flesh, in its selfishness, desires for God to appear a certain way that we might magnify certain characteristics of God and minimize other characteristics of God in such a way that it might make it a little easier on us in the way that we live our lives. And of course, we know that the devil is all about seeking to take God's rightful glory in this world and the glory that is ascribed to him. We know that he desires to take that away and to come in and to lie to us. He is the father of lies. But we come to know who God is, and we want to be careful about our perception of the Father, of God the Father, of God the Son, and of God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. We want to have a right view of God. And we must be careful. And you see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That right understanding of God, that right attitude toward who God is and what God is like, that's where knowledge and wisdom starts. That's where the knowledge that can be applied to everyday life by wisdom begins. And my view of God, according to this, determines how much I really know of what really matters. And again, I'm not talking just about head knowledge. I'm talking about a heart understanding and an application of that truth into my life. My view of God determines how much I really know of what really matters. Only through the fear of God. Only through a proper attitude about Him. So our starting point is the fear of God. Of the Lord. And I want to take this opportunity, because as I thought about this and studied this and looked at the various passages all through the Old and New Testament that speak of the fear of the Lord, the fear of God, examples of those that it says did fear God and commands to fear God, I noticed some parallels, and that's the word that came to my mind, some parallels, some things that when you see the fear of the Lord, some themes that seem to run parallel to that, often joined together with this idea of the fear of the Lord. And in studying Proverbs and studying what many others way before us have seen, they mentioned some parallelism, not to do with the fear of the Lord. But I thought, well, it's a good time just to mention that because we find it all through the book of Proverbs. And there are going to be three of these. I'll just mention them to you. And the words are going to be ones you may not have considered together in light of Proverbs. But the truth that is there, you'll say, oh yeah, well I've seen that many times, read through. The first one is synonymous parallelism. That's when you read, in much of Proverbs, not so much the first nine chapters, but after that, chapters 10 through 29 particularly, we find a lot of couplets. The verse that has an obvious first part and an obvious second part, and in those Proverbs, and we'll be looking at them as we go through the book, that are synonymous. We have the thought repeated as God is seeking, it seems, to make a point and make a double point as he repeats pretty much the same truth in a different way. And then there is antithetical parallelism. And we'll see that right here in verse 7 where we're looking. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Here the thought is contrasted. So a particular thought is brought out, and then a contrasting thought is brought in to help us to have a better understanding of the original statement that was made. So sometimes he gives a parallel, something that is quite much a synonym, and he says it in a different way. We do that in our conversation sometimes if we really want to make a point. Other times we may say, as Solomon does here, by the Spirit of God, one thing, and then give a strong contrast to help us to really understand what this is. And that's what we find here in verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's what we're looking at. And by contrast, he speaks of the fools, those people who were not wise. And as we saw last time, you know, the book of Proverbs is for fools too, because God's intent is to make fools wise, to bring them to that point where they truly recognize God in all of his greatness, in all of his majesty, in all of his holiness, in all of his power, in all of his love, in all of his character, and they come to that point where they bow the knee before him. But apart from the knowledge, the fear of the Lord, they're going to despise wisdom and instruction. And they might say, I don't despise wisdom and instruction, but in reality they do. That truth, that knowledge of those things that really matter for eternity, they're not interested. And then thirdly, there's what is called synthetic parallelism, where the thought is continued. The point is made, and then it's expanded in the second part of the proverb. An explanation, if you will. So, just to mention those right now, they're not, again, except for what we see there in verse 7, the second one, but we are going to see some of the other ones even tonight as we try to look at a number of different passages where we go through these parallels, these parallel themes. Now, there are a number of things that you would find when you do a study of the fear of the Lord, a number of things that are brought up in parallel that run right along the same track, it seems, as the fear of the Lord. But I picked out four because there are more emphasized themes, it seems, as we go through. These are ones that are repeated frequently, and you will see many of the references here. I'll put them on the screen behind me, and I hope that they will be helpful. The purpose being that as we look at these parallel themes, things that we find consistently go along with the fear of the Lord, hopefully it will help us better understand this foundational concept. Again, this is the starting point. This is the ABCs. This is the 1-2-3s. This is the do, re, mi. This is where we start out. And everything is based upon that. So here they are. Here are the four. I'm going to give them to you real quick, and then we'll just kind of look through them to some degree. First of all, to know who God is, the knowledge of the Lord. And then to hate what God hates. And here we have a movement toward the Lord by imitating Him in his own heart. And then there's the theme to do what God says, an obedience to the Lord and His revealed will in the Word of God. And then fourthly, to serve as God deserves, our service for the Lord. So here are four tracks that I see running parallel to this idea of the fear of the Lord and truly reverencing Him in all of His greatness, who He is, and in that having the beginning of true knowledge. So we'll go through each one of these somewhat briefly, but we have about 20 minutes here, so we will be able to spend a few minutes on each one before we wrap it all up at the end. So our starting point, the fear of the Lord. So we begin, as I said, with this thought of to know who God is, the knowledge of the Lord. And of course, that's through the Word of God. And again, we go back to our verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And oftentimes, as we study this idea of the fear of the Lord, we see that the knowledge of the Lord, knowing the Lord, is much to do with fearing the Lord. We can't have that right attitude toward God, that right understanding and that right response to God, if we don't really know who He is and we don't really know Him. Proverbs 2:5, maybe on the same page in your Bible. And he's speaking here about inclining your heart, your ear rather, to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding and seeking for it like searching for hidden treasure. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You see, when you seek after wisdom, God's wisdom, then you will come to that understanding of the fear of the Lord, of who God really is, and you will find the knowledge of God. There they are, in parallel, merged together, makes obvious sense to us. The knowledge of God. Also in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10, I mentioned this verse earlier, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I would say this is somewhat of a synonymous parallel here, saying the same thing. Now, you could also say that it's expanding on that. It's obviously not a contrast, but I would say it's quite much a synonym. Fearing the Lord and knowing the Holy One are so closely tied in together because one is the beginning of wisdom, one is understanding. Those wisdom and understanding, obviously not exactly the same, but very close in their relationship throughout the book of Proverbs, particularly in other places in the Bible as well. And then Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. Here we're not in the Proverbs. We have, in essence, a synonymous parallelism right here. Here we have everybody in the earth fearing the Lord. Everybody in the world standing in awe of Him. Recognizing who He is, His greatness, His position, His role, His character, and in doing so, being awestruck by the greatness of God. That's a command here, by the way, in Psalm 33. And one day, when we see every knee bowing and every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father, then we're going to see that fulfilled. That command will be obeyed one day. But our goal is to do that now, to stand in awe of Him, to fear Him, knowing who God is, that knowledge of the Lord through the Word of God. Psalm 33:18. This is interesting because I think we also see some parallels here as particular aspects of His character are brought out. Psalm 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy. Here's a parallel between those who fear God and those who are hoping in His mercy. That fear of God brings us to that point where we recognize that we must have His mercy. We must have His compassion. There's nothing in us that is going to please one who is so high and holy, the Creator. The one with whom we must do, to whom we will give an answer, how we must hope in His mercy. And those who truly understand who God is are brought to that point where we hope in His mercy. Again, the same thought in Psalm 147:11. The Lord takes pleasure in who? In those who fear Him, in those who hope in His mercy. A synonym, almost, for fearing the Lord is to hope in His mercy. Because we see that we need the mercy of God. Again, Psalm 118 and verse 4. Let those who fear the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever. Those who truly reverence God, they recognize their dependence upon His mercy. We need His mercy. A couple more verses here before we move on beyond this thought of knowing who God is. Psalm 66:16, come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. You see, those who fear the Lord, those who recognize who God truly is, who have a personal understanding of and relationship with the Lord, desire to hear what God is doing. We love to hear how God is working in the lives of other people, how He's working in situations, because we know how great and awesome He is, and we love to hear what He's doing, and it reinforces our understanding of Him. And then in Malachi 3:16, we read about that book of remembrance written before God for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name. You see, here there's a parallel between fearing the Lord and meditating on His name. Knowing who God is. Knowing in a personal way, meditating, not just having the knowledge come into our minds, but meditating, chewing on that truth of who He is. Thinking about His holiness and what that means. And some have done deeper study than others and obviously have more scriptural understanding of what that means, that God is holy. But all of us who are in the Word of God can have an understanding of the holiness of God and the righteousness of God. Can have that sense and understanding that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere, all the time. All of Him is everywhere at the same time. That's God. That's beyond our full understanding. But we can meditate on that. Meditate on who He is. Meditate on His character. Meditate on what God does. Starting point, the fear of the Lord. Know who God is. And secondly, to hate what God hates. Now this flows right out of knowing who God is, knowing His character, understanding what He hates. And there are things that God hates, and we'll see that in the book of Proverbs as we go through. It'll list some things that God hates. And of course, we can lump all of that together, if you will, under the heading of sin. And here we have a movement toward the Lord. A movement toward the Lord in imitating Him. And not just saying, okay, He does this, so I'm going to do that. But really knowing Him and having that relationship with Him that I gain through being in the Word and opening up my heart to what God is teaching me and spending that time in prayer, as we said this morning, seeking not only His hand to give me something, but seeking His face. That I might know Him and that I might grow in my understanding of Him and in my relationship with Him. And as I think about hating what God hates, it came to my mind that, you know, that needs to start with my sin. You know, it's very easy to hate, or easier to hate, the sin that somebody else is doing. But what about the sin that so easily besets me? What about the sin that I struggle with that you don't even know about? Do I hate that sin, or do I just hate what that sin does to me? Do I hate what God hates? Let's look at a few verses that remind us of this. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We might call this a synthetic parallel. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And then he goes on to explain that, to expound that. Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Go away from evil.
And I would suggest again that the first evil I need to depart from is the evil I'm doing, the evil I'm involved in, the sin that is coming against me, that's crouching at my door, that wants to rule over me as sin wanted to rule over Cain. So sin wants to rule over me. Another in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. To hate evil. Here it is. If I fear the Lord, then I'm going to hate evil. And then he lists some of the evil. Solomon says, here's what I hate. Here's some of the evil I hate. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth. I hate. Do I hate evil? Do I hate pride? Do I hate spiritual pride and arrogance? Not only do I hate pride in the other person, do I hate pride in my own life? You know, God desires that we be humble, that we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift us up at the right time. And we can add to that, obviously, in the right way. Arrogance. Arrogance toward others. Does that in any way characterize me? I'm to hate that. I'm to hate that in my life and then respond to that hate by humbling myself. The evil way, the perverse mouth. And as I said, there'll be much about the mouth in Proverbs, much about the way that I'm living my life. Is there evil there? Evil that may be an inward evil. I need to hate that evil, that quarrelsomeness. When God says I should be gentle, that selfishness, when God says that I should be love, that impatience, when God says I should be long-suffering, that pride, when God says I should be humble. We also see in the book of Proverbs, as we think of hating what God hates, 23:17, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. You notice be zealous is in italics. The translators have added that to give the thought, and they're drawing really on the word envy. And that word translated envy from the Hebrew can actually be zealous. Don't let your heart be zealous after sin, but rather let your heart be enthusiastic for the fear of the Lord all the day. And not for sin. You know, that temptation is to look and to say, look what they're enjoying. Look what they're gaining. Look what seems to be a happy time for them. Proverbs 16:6, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. One departs from evil. Well, let's continue. We'll look quickly here at a couple of other verses, moving out of Proverbs into another book of wisdom, Job. Job 28:28. And Job says that to man the Lord said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Back in Exodus, Jethro suggested to Moses that he select from all the people able men such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, hating sin. That is the fear of the Lord. And in Nehemiah 5:15, Nehemiah, in speaking of former governors who took advantage of their position over other people, he says, I did not do so because of the fear of the Lord. I was seeking to depart from evil. That motivated him, and that tied in. Hating what God hates. We're gonna move quickly. I'm not gonna read. I am gonna read the 2 Corinthians 7:1 there for a New Testament reference. Therefore, having these promises that God says, I will be your God, if you recognize the need for separation from sin in your life, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Growing in that sanctification, growing in that purity before God that He desires, and by His grace He enables us to have. So let's move on. We've got two others to look at, and these kind of tying together, but I thought there was enough distinction there to separate them out. But we're going to quickly go through them. Thirdly, the fear of the Lord, a parallel theme, is to do what God says. This seems like pretty much a no-brainer, obviously, obedience to the Lord. But let's look at several scriptures. One here in Genesis chapter 22, you know the story. Likely, Abraham called upon to offer his son Isaac. And as he raises the knife and gets ready to plunge it into his son, he hears the angel of the Lord say, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." What an example here of fearing the Lord, recognizing God for who he is. You know, I see in this thought of obedience the idea that we often see and hear related to sports teams, and also in the business world, and even in other venues, we have that idea of buying into a philosophy. And a coach comes in and he brings with him a philosophy for the team, and here's how we can win, but you got to do it my way. And when players buy into that, or employees buy in to the management's philosophy, then they begin to be willing to do what the coach says or what the management says, because they're thinking, hey, this is going to work. And we, as it were, need to buy in to who God is. And that fear of the Lord is a choice. We would almost think that it's involuntary when we truly see God for who he is, but yet there's much about learning the fear of the Lord and even choosing the fear of the Lord, making that conscious decision. And Abraham chose to fear the Lord. He bought in, as it were, to what God was going to do in fulfilling the promises he made to him, in spite of the fact that he was telling him to sacrifice his own son. Ecclesiastes 12:13, the conclusion of all of this seeking that Solomon had done under the sun, here's the conclusion of the whole matter: fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Keep his commandments. We'll see in these different references how God is speaking of fearing the Lord, and then also being obedient. Here at these three references in Deuteronomy, keeping all his statutes and commandments. Here we have learning to fear the Lord and careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. Again, fearing the Lord and carefully observing all the words of this law in those three passages there. And again, hurrying along here, we have several more. Another one in Deuteronomy regarding observing all these statutes to fear the Lord our God. And then in 2 Kings, this challenge regarding fearing the Lord. This is a negative example of those who did not fear the Lord and didn't follow the statutes or the ordinances or the law and the commandment which the Lord had commanded. A disobedience there, not doing what God says, an example of not truly fearing the Lord. Now, here's an interesting one, I thought. All of them are interesting, but this was a little twist on the idea of fearing the Lord. Psalm 19:9, and if you're familiar with the last two-thirds of Psalm 19, you know that it's all about the Word of God, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And he goes on and gives these different synonyms for the word, the law of the Lord. And here we have the fear of the Lord, again representing the word of God is clean, enduring forever. Here we have the word of God referred to as the fear of the Lord. That ties right in with this thought of doing what God says. Here's God's word. He tells us what to do. The question is, will we do what he says to do? That's the fear of the Lord. And finally, serve as God deserves. Service for the Lord. And again, a Deuteronomy passage. I'm just going to put some passages up here where you will see the idea of fearing the Lord tied in with serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. There's a Deuteronomy 6:13, fear the Lord your God and serve him. 10:12, fearing the Lord your God and walking in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Working under and even along with God's graciousness and saying, you can be workers together with me. The grace of God, fearing the Lord your God and serving Him. Quickly, as we come to the end of these thoughts, serving as God deserves our service for the Lord. Joshua challenging the people, going into the promised land, that challenge to fear the Lord and to serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and also putting away the gods. There we have, again, departing from evil, and also that thought of serving Him, working under Him, recognizing that He truly is the Lord, the fear of the Lord. He is the one that we are to serve and obey His voice if you fear the Lord. Don't rebel against Him. Servants don't rebel. Servants submit. Fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. With all your heart. Starting point, the fear of the Lord, serving as God deserves. So we've got these four: knowing who God is, the knowledge of the Lord, hating what God hates, moving toward the Lord, doing what God says, obeying the Lord, serving as God deserves, service for the Lord. To have wisdom for life, according to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, I must fear the Lord. To fear the Lord, we see from these parallel themes, following them through Scripture and seeing how the fear of the Lord works when it's fleshed out in our lives, we must know Him intimately. How am I going to know Him intimately? I've got to hear what He says. I've got to be in His Word. I've got to be spending time alone with Him, talking with Him, but more so maybe listening to Him. And then seeking to respond to Him in faith, knowing that I'm not able to do what He wants me to do, but as I learn more of His character and learn all of these aspects of who He is, that I have a balanced view of God rather than tilted over one way or tilted over the other way, but a balanced view of God, because He is infinite in every one of His attributes. We've got to keep that in balance in our own minds. He keeps it perfectly in balance in who He is. So to fear the Lord, I must know Him intimately. I must imitate Him consistently. I must be willing to depart from evil, because I need to hate what He hates. And I need to do that on a consistent basis, consistent in my own life, not choosing I'm going to hate this sin, but I'm going to let this one slide. I'm going to condemn this and what that person does, but in my own life, I'm going to kind of make allowance for this sin that I am holding on to. Am I willing to get close enough to God and to know Him intimately enough that He reveals to me things that are sin that I didn't even think were sin? I thought I was spiritual. I thought I was so spiritual and having this attitude, only to come and find out that that was an attitude of spiritual pride. To imitate Him, to hate what He hates and depart from evil. And then to obey Him implicitly. You know, we taught our children, and you probably taught your children, whether you use the same words or not, that idea that delayed obedience is disobedience. A partial obedience is disobedience. And to obey God implicitly. And when we see God and His character, and we know Him, and we desire to hate what He hates, and then, of course, to love what He loves. By contrast, we want to obey Him because we know that what He tells us to do is for our good. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then to serve Him faithfully, to serve Him out of a willing heart, a joyful heart even, because I know who God is. And I know that I'll stand before Him one day, and I'm going to give account for that service. And as we saw this morning, there is the potential of some of that service being burned up because the attitude was not right with which I did it. The motive was wrong. Fearing the Lord, recognizing who He is, seeing Him in His character, in a balanced view, I will have that true reverence for Him. Well, thank you for going along with me. I'd encourage you to do some study for yourself. If you have a Bible program, and you can put in fear of the Lord, fear of God, fear God, fear the Lord, feared, fearing, put the Lord, put God in there, and find other passages that are cross-referenced, you will find a very interesting study. I've only touched the hem of the garment for sure, but thank you for following along with me. And I hope that that'll help us, because what good is it to go and start reading War and Peace when you don't know the alphabet? Why would you take trigonometry if you don't know how to count to 10? Why would you go and decide you're gonna play one of Handel's symphonies when you don't even know the basic notes? How are we going to have wisdom for life if we don't start at the foundation? And that's to have a fear of the Lord, a right understanding, and a right response to the person of God. What a gracious God He is. How awesome He is, how powerful, and how holy, and yet perfectly in balance, how loving and gracious and kind and merciful. And we've experienced that. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for our time in Your Word tonight, a blessing. It always is to consider together the Scriptures. And Father, we pray, we've looked at a lot of different verses tonight, and we pray that You'll take these verses. Lord, take at least one of them and drive it home to each of our hearts tonight. Father, You know what we need. You know what we need. Help us to know You. Help us to imitate You. Help us to obey You and serve You. Lord, all out of a right understanding of who You are. Help us to see You as You really are. As You reveal Yourself in Your Word, help us not to come with our own preconceived ideas that we want You to be, but rather might we yield to who You truly are and bow before You. Bow before You to honor You and to worship You and to say, what would You have me to do? Thank You for the wisdom to live this life. Father, thank You for the book of Proverbs. Thank You for these ones gathered here this evening. Thank You for the blessing they are to me. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. May the Lord encourage you and give you wisdom this week.